Hello and welcome to a bonus episode of The Laydown. My name is Ryan and my pronouns are she, her. Joining me on the podcast this time is Saint Gibson, who you may also know as S.T. Gibson. She's the author of An Education in Malice and A Dowry of Blood, and her new book is called Evocation. It's an urban fantasy novel set in Boston, and it is such a great book. Evocation is about to be released just a few days after this podcast goes live, and you can order it from Gibson's bookstore. I'll put the link in the show notes. In even more exciting news, Saint Gibson will be coming to Gibson's this summer on Wednesday, July 24th at 6:30 p.m. Mark your calendars. It is going to be an amazing time. For now, though, let's jump right into the interview. Hi, Saint Gibson. How are you?
Hello. I'm great. Thank you. It's so good to be here.
I am so thrilled to have you on the podcast. I got an arc of your book so long ago, and I've just been like nibbling away. It's so delicious.
I love that. I love a slow savor. I can be a fast reader. I used to be when I was very little and I was like devouring books in middle school. But the older I get, the more I love to just like do a chapter or two a day and then like mull on it. It's a good experience.
Yes. And I'm the same way. There are some books that I'll sit down and read it in one sitting because I'm just like, absolutely. But then there are some that I'm just like, yeah, I need to sit with this. I need to like let this sink in. And there's something about this book that I've just been like sitting with it. Like it's just, I don't know. It just like, it feels like a cozy warm sweater that I'm like, I don't want to like read it all. I'm sure I could read it all in one sitting because it's so compelling. But at the same time, I'm like, I need to give these characters their due. Like I need to like.
I love that. Thank you so much.
It's been delightful. So when this recording goes up, it will be just a few days before your release. So congratulations. Very exciting.
It's thrilling.
I'm thrilled for you. So give us, what's your elevator pitch for Evocation?
I'm happy to give it. Evocation is a urban fantasy romance series starter. It's a start of a 4-book series. And it follows David, who is a pretty arrogant, high-powered Boston attorney who moonlights as a medium for a secret society. And when a family curse kind of comes for his soul, the only person he can trust to help him out is his ex-boyfriend, the sorcerer Reese, who also happens to be his rival in the secret society, and that ex-boyfriend's wife, Moira. So the three are kind of forced to throw their lot in together magically, relationally, and they get a little bit too close for comfort. And, you know, some unexpected romance may start to bloom as they are fighting to figure out the answer to this curse before David's 30th birthday, because if they don't figure it out by his 30th birthday, David will die. That is the longer elevator pitch. It's not like two sentences, but there's a lot of good stuff here.
No, I love it. It is so much fun. These characters are, they're such richly formed characters. Like I know them so well. You know what I mean? Like I know David so well.
Good. I'm happy I can now inflict him upon the world because I have been living with these characters and David, who is a very big personality for like almost 7 years now. So it's super gratifying to finally be able to, you know, thrust the book into people's hands and be like, if you wanna, here it is.
That's amazing. So this has been a long time coming. Can you talk a little bit about sort of your journey to this book?
Absolutely. So, you know, I have been writing ever since I was a kiddo, and I've been seriously writing fiction with the intent of publication probably since late college, early grad school. And Evocation was, how do I want to phrase this? So Evocation is kind of like if I took everything that I personally love and just like love thinking about and I'm really into and obsessed with, and I put it into a big stew pot and I made this delicious like kitchen soup stew. you know, it's about magic and occultism. It's about love. It's about the city of Boston. It's soapy, and it has this big cast with interconnected relationships. And it's a lot of things I really love, but it has been in development for, I think by the time this book comes out, it will be about 7 years, which is long for me. I'm not Donna Tartt. Like, I have a lot of stories to tell. We got to get these kids out the door. I cook them for as long as I need to cook, and then they're out. But this one needed to cook for like 7 years. So I've been sitting with these characters and reworking and revising and rethinking this series, and particularly Evocation, for a really long time. And I think an important part of this story too is that Evocation, the characters originated with the very first novella I ever self-published, called Odd Spirits, which is being revised and is being put into a beautiful hardcover with all these special features that will be coming out in the fall. Yay. But it was literally baby's first published work. And I developed these characters, and I really wanted to use them to explore magic and marriage and love and fidelity. And, you know, I really liked the novella, and I put it out there, and people seemed to respond pretty well to it. Obviously, there's things I would do different now, and I have the opportunity to do them different now, which is awesome and really exciting. But I just couldn't get the story out of my head. And the more I sat with it, the more the characters in the world and the relationships and the city, which really has a strong personality, just kind of took over. And so the soup pot has been simmering on the back burner for years and years and years now. And it's so exciting that we finally get to, you know, kick off the series. It's going to be great.
I love that. And I love that you said it's going to be 4 books in the series.
Yes.
Incredible. I love that. I'm very excited for that. I want to talk a little bit about the magic in this book, because it definitely feels like the magic is treated with such care. It feels so real. You can tell that it's rooted in real magic, in real sort of the tarot and the when Moira is doing David's charts, and she's like, give me a few days. Like, this is going to take me a few days. And I was like, yes. Oh my God. Yes. So I wonder if you could talk a little bit about that, about the magic of this book.
Of course. One of the big driving motivators behind Evocation is kind of my pet obsession with religion and spirituality. I have been really into religion, the occult, spirituality, mythology, kind of that whole umbrella of human experience and the way that we use stories and symbols and rituals to make meaning pretty much since birth. I've explored different religious paths myself. I consider myself an occultist. I consider myself a religious person. I actually went to grad school to become a priest. I have 2 years of theology under my belt. I have a degree. And while I was there, it was a wonderful experience. And I discerned, this language we use in you know, the church, is you're discerning your call, your vocation. And I discerned I wanted to write romance novels instead. So here we are. But, you know, Evocation and the whole Summoner Circle series was really an opportunity for me to synthesize and share the things that I had learned and the things that I had been thinking about magic and what it is and how it functions. And I am just kind of a lifelong student of the different occult traditions and different religious systems, even if I myself am not a practitioner. And the goal with Evocation is I wanted to show how fun and interesting and alive these living magical traditions and religious traditions are. You know, I can't showcase everything I've learned about and everything that's out there, but I think, you know, an interconnected group of magicians that are all coming from different backgrounds and they're good at different things and are interested in different things was a really great way to do that. And also, you know, if you've spent any time around magical circles, it's very incestuous and very soapy. There's a lot of beef. Everyone's dating each other, but they also love each other so hard and understand you on a level that maybe nobody else can. Just like any small, you know, found family system or insular community. So it was just like this really beautiful, fertile ground to make I keep on back to the word soapy, but, you know, kind of a a fun, emotional, a slightly larger than life, really character driven and relationship driven story. But the backbone is really the magic. So some of the traditions that are depicted in the book are ceremonial magic, particularly in the tradition of the Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn and Western Hermeticism. We also have tarot and astrology. There's mentions of chaos magic, Santeria, all kinds of really cool, vibrant living traditions. And it was just like such an awesome challenge to try to depict them in a way that was respectful and a way that was informed, with also without taking away their mystery, and also with using a little bit of artistic and creative license to make them feel slightly larger than life. Things like the demon deal are a little bit exaggerated, but they're rooted in actual folklore and in actual grimoires and stories that we have about these deals people have made. So it was a blast. And I still can't believe that I get to just do a whole series of me being like, did you know? Because it's just kind of my pet obsession, and it always has been and probably always will be. It's great. I had a great time.
Oh, I love that so much. And that totally comes through. Like, your joy and care for it is completely, like, it's all over this book. Like, you can just tell that, like, you love everything in this book. It's beautiful.
Thank you. I think another wonderful thing about this series is it kind of allows me to be a perpetual perpetual student of these things, and to learn and grow and correct myself as I learn different things. And it's a really awesome kind of lens through which to share what I'm excited about, but also encourage myself to stay curious and to keep learning and to keep questioning my assumptions and, you know, kind of the whole underpinning of religion or spirituality or magic is the more you think you know, the less you realize you actually know. So I try to keep that philosophy front and center, even when I'm really in the weeds of getting into the minutiae of some of this stuff.
I think that's so cool. And I'm already envisioning, like, displaying this book with some of our tarot decks in the store, right?
My design. Yes, I love tarot. I've been a tarot reader for probably coming up to 10 years now, and I collect tarot decks. So obviously tarot had to play a big role in the story. And, you know, the covers are these beautiful illustrated in the tradition of the Rider-Waite-Smith tarot. And I'm crazy about the covers.
Yeah, the covers are amazing. I was initially just completely obsessed with the advanced reader copy cover, which I think
I have it right over here. It's beautiful.
Yeah. Which I think is that on, like, the beneath the cover?
Yes. Yeah, so if you're listening, if you're speedy, because it will probably be out very close to the release of this podcast, the first print run of Evocation does have some special features. And I think my favorite part about the first print run is it has this gorgeous, you know, dust jacket. But if you take the dust jacket off, the boards of the hardcover are like jet black, and they have metallic embossing of the original art cover, which is a little bit more graphic and maybe not abstract, but it's less, you know, human faces, and it's more symbols, and it's just stunning. It's beautiful. Yeah. And so many people fell in love with the art cover, and I did too, that I was like over the moon when my publishing team was like, we have a surprise.
I'm so delighted, because I fully fell in love with that cover. So I'm so thrilled that the first edition will have that little secret surprise. But then I saw the actual real cover, and I was like, I didn't know they could make it better.
Yes. I sat down with my editor and the illustrator, both of whom are phenomenal, to kind of make a sheet of the vision for the cover, which you then turn over to the illustrator, and they just do something above and beyond and like you never even imagined, but you have to have a starting place. I was basically like, I grew up reading like early aughts urban fantasy, like super tropey, think like werewolves wearing leather jackets on motorcycles in New York City and elves, like that kind of urban fantasy. You know, I really love the Borderlands series and the Dresden Files, and I read a little bit of Anita Blake and things like that. So I was like, I really want whatever the modern, elegant, chic, updated version of a like tropey early aughts cover is, in the style of a tarot card. And that is, it is what I got, but it's like way beyond even what I could have imagined. So I'm super thrilled. I feel very lucky. I think all the covers I've gotten from all my publishers are really beautiful. And you don't always get a lot of input, but I did have a lot of input into this one.
That's really cool. I love hearing about cover design and when authors get to have some input. That's always so much fun. I love that. It is such a beautiful, beautiful book, and I'm so excited for everyone to grab it.
Yeah.
Thinking about displays, because I am a bookseller, and so one of my favorite kind of things to do is one of those like, well, if you liked reading this, you'll love reading these.
Yes.
And I'm curious, because I've already started thinking about this. If I were to make a display like that and I had Evocation on there, what are some other books, even just one other book, that you would be so delighted to see on that display?
Ooh, I'll give you a couple answers for this. I think... I'm not sure if it is the best comp because it is a YA series and Evocation is staunchly adult. I pretty much only write adult. Have you read The Raven Cycle by Maggie Stiefvater?
Oh, yeah.
The Raven Cycle like rewired my brain chemistry, and the Summoner's Circle series would not exist without it. So if you like that really lived in, lush, but natural feeling, our world grounded magic system, and a series that is very driven by character relationships and by this tight-knit web of people who are all kind of in love with each other in different ways and friends in different ways. Like, I think that is probably the closest vibe you're going to get, even though it is a YA series, but it's phenomenal. I think everyone should read it. The prose is so good. The character work is so good. I really admire Maggie Stiefvater. I also think Leigh Bardugo fans might like this one, especially if you're into Ninth House, if you like the secret society, a little bit more grown up, a little bit more gritty, although Ninth House is a bit darker than Evocation. And there's always one more that I pull out. Oh, this is a comic, but Hellblazer. If you like John Constantine and the Constantine movies, this is very that. This is very that. There was actually a line in the original that got cut for time where Rhys says that he alludes to the comic, and David is like, did you actually get into occultism because of John Constantine? And Rhys is like, no. And there's like an undercurrent of like a little bit, kind of. So there was a shout out in the original in a scene that got cut. But I think Ninth House, John Constantine comics, and the Raven Cycle, if you smash those together. And then, you know, whatever swoony queer romance of your choice you want to put in there, because it's very romantic and it's very queer, I think that is a pretty good spread.
I love that. Yeah, I was definitely thinking Ninth House would have to be on there. And I was also thinking A Marvelous Light by Freya Marsk.
That's such a good one. I love Freya. And yeah. Freya is stupid talented, and I love A Marvelous Light. And I think if you enjoyed that, you will definitely enjoy this.
Yeah.
A Marvelous Light is historical, Evocation contemporary, but they are like kissing cousins.
Yeah. Cause I was like, oh, what vibes am I getting? And I was like, oh yeah, there it is.
That's it. There you have your whole display. We did it.
There we go. We did it. Thinking about your characters a little bit,
mm-hmm.
Was there a character that was easiest to write, and who was the hardest to write?
That is a great question. Out of the Evocation crew that we have met, that you will meet by the end of the book, because they're, I know that the cast for the whole series, you don't. I give this answer a lot, but it is true. For me, it might seem counterintuitive, but the easiest one was David. Mm. He has such a strong personality. For me, as the author, he has such a clear voice. There's less friction for me to get into his POV. I know his catchphrases. I know how his mind works. So just from like a technical perspective of what as the author is more technically demanding, David is definitely kind of my comfort zone in terms of POV. And I've known the character a long time. The character's been in development for a while. And David also has a lot of some of my worst and best qualities. So he's quite familiar. Like writing David is not like a stand-in for myself. There's elements of myself in all my characters, but there is that fun element with that character of like, here's some things about yourself you're very deeply acquainted with, you either like or don't like. And what if it was, you know, some overblown power fantasy of being like an occult billionaire lawyer? How would that have changed how you react to certain things? And then you get David. So he's pretty comfy for me. And then I think it's, I'm thinking of the character's invocation. I actually think, interestingly enough, the two that were challenging in some ways I didn't expect were certain elements of Rhys and Moira. I'm also super comfortable with them. I know them very well. I've also known these characters for a long, long time. But there's just a lot of depth to those characters and also the way they interact with each other. And I feel like their marriage, particularly in their relationship to each other, has gone through the most evolution over time. And so I kind of have to check back in with how I'm writing their relationship every once in a while and be like, is this still how I want to present it? Does this still feel authentic? Does this feel lived in? Does this feel, you know, true to the characters? And they, I think, have maybe gone through some of the most growth from like start to finish. They were a little bit more like cardboard cutouts in the beginning, and now they feel very three-dimensional to me. So I think in terms of like where I've put in the most work, it's probably Rhys and Moira, especially in their relationship to each other. So yeah, and there's also some really fun side characters, but honestly, they also were not that challenging. I think part of the reason I love playing in this world so much is I have a little bit more fluidity and a little bit easier access to my skill set in this world. It is kind of perfectly designed to play into my skill set and minimize my weaknesses, whereas other things I've written are much more in my stretch zone. I'm still doing good work, but I'm kind of pushing on my weaknesses a little bit more and challenging myself to try something new and get outside the comfort zone. Evocation is what I'm capable of when I am truly have the home advantage. Yeah.
I love that.
Thanks. I think everyone deserves a series where they have the home advantage.
Yeah, absolutely. And I also feel like it makes a lot of sense that so many of the characters are kind of like familiar and easier to write because, again, like you've been kind of sitting with this story for so long that like they've Truly. Been living in your brain for almost a decade Truly. At this point.
Yeah. At this point, yeah, no. Yeah, it's been a minute. It's been a minute.
I love that. I love that. Gosh, let's see. We're coming up towards the end, so I will start to hit you with the what books have you been reading recently?
Golly, I've actually been in kind of a fallow period recently. I've been on deadline and doing a lot of events, which I love doing, but that kind of takes up brain space that I'd be giving towards other things. But I've actually kind of been getting back into my magical study because I'm revising book two in the Summoner Circle series, which is Reese's book. And he's a big old nerd who does ceremonial magic. And I feel like it's writing a character that's slightly smarter than me. So I keep having to like refer back to these core texts. So I've been, you know, revisiting some of those things. What am I reading? I'm looking at my shelf. I feel like there was a romance I was reading. I should have come prepared. It's honestly been a lot of really boring occult reference texts. Like I just got a copy of Carl Jung's Red Book, which I want to read, which is very dense historical psychoanalysis that also has some esoteric tie-ins. I've been reading a little bit of Crowley. He's not my favorite, but he is necessary. Just some like historical stuff about hermeticism as well. So very dry right now. Oh, and I'm also reading some literary analysis of the Gothic genre because I'm working on a Gothic right now as well. But like that sounds very like, ooh, so collegiate, so academic. But like that is what I do for work. And then like to wind down at night, I have no brain left for fiction. So I'm just like watching YouTube. But I do want to return to fiction soon. I have some wonderful books I want to get to. I can tell you about my TBR. Really excited to read The Sin on Their Bones by Laura R. Samatin. I'm really, really excited to read some new romances that have come out recently and get back into my little romance headspace. I would like to revisit Kushiel's Dart soon, but that's kind of an undertaking. So yeah, that's where I'm at.
I love that. I honestly, it's kind of refreshing to have an author be like, actually, I'm reading a lot of nonfiction for research. Here you go. Because
yeah, no,
so
I'm just
often it's like,
I'm in the research headspace right now. But the way I am as a reader, as an adult, is like very on and off. Mm-hmm. I'll have months where, like a month or two at a time, where I do not read a single fiction book. And then I'll have a month where I read like eight. Mm-hmm. So it's just how it goes. But I also love audiobooks, I love podcasts. Yes. So I try to get stories in wherever I can.
Yes. Yeah. I am such an audiobook girly. We are super tight with Libro FM and I love them. And I have like an hour commute to and from the bookstore. And so I just like demolish audiobooks. Like, I was going to say, like, it's my job. It is my job.
Absolutely. And of course, we're going to get off the call and I'm going to remember what I've been reading. But that's the vibe thus far.
And that, you know what? It's a good vibe. It's a good vibe. Very briefly thinking about romance, do you have any sort of like favorite romance authors that you like to shout out or any recent romances?
I do. Let me tell you. These are some classics, but I always come back to them. I love Talia Hibbert. Oh, I love Talia Hibbert. Talia Hibbert, I think, was the first time I read a contemporary rom-com that wasn't very angsty and didn't have magic in it. And I was like, oh, I get it. This is so satisfying. Mm-hmm. Whereas before I was like, I'm not really sure if that genre is for me. She totally sells it. So funny. So sexy. Love her character work. KJ Charles eats every time. I love KJ Charles. KJ Charles writes queer historicals predominantly. Kat Sebastian is also a really fantastic queer historical writer. They have different strengths, but they're both wonderful. But KJ Charles is one of the authors that got me into reading romance. I love a good Why Choose romance. So I love a fun escapist like Catherine Moon. These Are My Five Monster Boyfriends kind of romance. I think my favorite romance author working right now is probably Sierra Simone. Mm-hmm. I never stop talking about Sierra Simone, but she's hugely influential to me and is really, really good at what she does. And let me give you one more. What have we got? Where's my romance section? Why can't I find it? I moved all my books around and this is the problem. I mostly just have research texts in here. There is someone else that I love that I always recommend. I can't think of it now, but yeah, those are some really great, great folks.
I love that. I'm currently sitting next to the romance section and I feel like I need to show you, we have a Steam scale that we use in the bookstore. Let me grab it 1 second.
Yes.
So our events coordinator, Elizabeth, is our big romance reader in the bookstore, although several of us are obsessed. And she has spreadsheets where she like writes down like the tropes, the ages of characters, how steamy it gets, etc. And so she created a steam scale, which goes from level one of smooching all the way up to level five, danger hot, and everything in between. And what we do with this steam scale, we have it displayed in our romance section and we made bookmarks for each level and we put them in the romance novels that we're recommending so that people can see at a glance how steamy it gets.
That is so lovely. Like that is so fun, but also so useful. Mm-hmm. Oh, I remember the author now. I had to look at my Instagram. I'm not going to lie to you. I didn't pull it out of my head. Harley LaRue. Harley LaRue is a dark romance author. Phenomenal. I read The Dare and The Dare had been very hyped to me. And just like, if you're a listener and maybe you don't read more edge play, more kinky, darker, more angsty stuff, The Dare is probably not for you. But if you do like that and you haven't read it yet, I do recommend it. Really enjoyable. It had been so hyped to me. And I was like, I'm sure it's good, but like, this is a lot of hype. And then I read it and I was like, I get it. I get it. So that's a good suite of romances, and depending on what you like. But I, as a romance reader, I do love a good rom-com. I do love a good chaste Regency sometimes, but I really do lean towards the steamy and the angsty. So that is usually where my recommendations go. Like, I want to cry and I want to be scandalized. That's the emotional experience I'm after in a romance. And then I want that happy ending at the end. I want you to do the magic trick where it somehow all works out.
Yes. Yes. I never get tired of a romance novel. Like, I'm like, yes, I know exactly where it ends up and I can't wait to get there. I love it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think a lot of our customers really kind of fell in love with the romance genre in the early days of the pandemic because we all just wanted happy endings. And for me, it was split. I went, half of my reading went full romance because I wanted the happy ending. The other half of my reading went full horror because I wanted something scarier than what was outside of my window.
Love it.
And I needed like that control and also that like the vulnerability and the passion, which both of those genres have.
Yes. They're both very, they're both genres that are very rooted in physicality and some of our strongest, most like lizard brain emotions. Yeah. And I love that. I love the intensity of both those genres. I'm a big old Bridgerton girly. I'm so excited for the new season. So I want to go back and actually read the books because I so enjoy the series.
Yeah.
And I love a historical. Mm-hmm. I love a historical and I'm really into that show. So that's kind of my goal, is to get through some of the Bridgerton books as well.
Yay.
Once my brain is no longer Swiss cheese and full of summoning seals from the Lesser Key of Solomon.
I love that. Well, I wish many a less Swiss cheese brain upon you.
Thank you.
Incredible. I think we can wrap up there, but I am so excited for this book to come out. I think people are going to just eat it up. It is so good and just such a fun read. And I can't wait to hand sell it to everyone who comes in the bookstore.
Thank you so much for your service. I love it. I'm so excited. Thank you for having me. This was really lovely.
Thanks for chatting, Saint, and enjoy publication time.
I will. Thank you.
Have a good one.
All right. See ya.
Bye. Huge thanks again to St. Gibson for joining me on the podcast. What a great chat. She's such a delight. A reminder to make sure you're following Gibson's and The Laydown on social media so you can find out about all of our upcoming events like Saint's event this summer. I'll put those links in the show notes. You can order Evocation from Gibson's, and if you don't live locally but you would like your copy signed and personalized at our event, you can let us know that in the order comments and we can hang on to your book until the event in July, get your copy signed and personalized for you, and then ship it out afterwards. And as a reminder, that event is Wednesday, July 24th at 6:30 p.m. If you're local, I hope we'll see you this summer at our event. Thank you all so much for listening. Don't forget to subscribe so you'll know when we upload new episodes, and consider leaving us a nice review. Until next time, we'll see you in the bookstore. Bye!